So the article, where did the article come out at?
Which article?
That major one where is somewhere that was carrying the article about the
You're talking about the Harvard Northwestern
stuff? Harvard Northwestern stuff.
Oh, there's dozens of articles every day. But basically, and I'm trying my best. I'm trying to keep up with what's going on. I'm at Northwestern. To our listeners who know, I'm a faculty in the School of Education and Social Policy there. Northwestern has been in the bullseye of the administration. So it's one of, a select number of institutions that are still in the hot seat from what happened last year.
I'm just doing the prep real quick. So before you start giving out any quality information, real quick. So it was, I know Northwestern and Harvard. I got that part. Basically, all the major articles carried the story. And then who's in charge on the government side? So I know RFK is in charge of health and shit like that. But who's the main runner for Doge?
In Doge are the one, I can speak to what happened in my immediate context, right? So I'm at Northwestern, and I had an NSF grant. I should say had. We had a pretty large NSF grant, right, that was awarded two and a half years ago. So we were halfway through a five-year project, $4.5 million. I had two co-PIs, Nicole Pinkert and Kiana Mariah Ross, and our grant was canceled 2 weeks ago. So basically what happened, so our grant from the National Science Foundation was just completely abruptly breaking every single norm and precedent for how scientific research and grants from government to institutions ever has taken place, right? And just abruptly they canceled the grant, right? And so that's... I think that's an example of the way they're doing it, right? So it's Doge. Mm. And so Doge literally showed up to NSF headquarters in Alexandria, Virginia. Whoa. They showed up and they said, give us a list of all the grants that are currently funded that violate our executive orders. Mm. So the NSF then had to create a list, actually hand over a list to Doge and say, these are the grants. And ours was one of them. I mean, ours was obviously one of them. It wasn't like they do, basic science and, they do a little outreach program. Like our entire research agenda, right? Not just the impacts, the entire agenda was focused on the local history of racism in Evanston and how it's impacted public education. Mm. That was the topic. It wasn't a DEI side. No, it was the whole grant. So, I'm not surprised.
Sure, yeah, of course.
but to your question, Doge showed up to NSF, shook them down. They got a list, and those were the grants that were terminated, right? Okay. Which is different from grants that were frozen. That's a big difference.
Before you get into that, ladies and gentlemen, students, professors.
I'm sorry, man. It's been a heavy week, dog.
And everybody in between. Everybody, hey, welcome back to PCWB. I'm your co-host, Mike Knight, along with...
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Sapir.
Yes, and this is a special episode of PCWB. It doesn't even count in the numbers, but you know what I mean? It's in there. This is the 100-day review.
Not the 100th episode.
Not the 100th episode, but there's been 100 days since some important stuff has happened to the United States of America, let alone Northwestern University, let alone the world of comedy. And we're here to talk about it right now, but even more so than that, we're talking about something very specific. The one and only Professor Sapir Vakil of Northwestern University. So what is this, about a week? Has it been a full week yet that Doge cut funding?
Oh, yeah. It's been about 2 weeks since my grant specifically got cut. You know what I mean? So it's been 2 weeks. It's out there. Yeah. We're in the news.
And these things, these not only Northwestern, but Harvard, some other notable schools, they got cut by, when you add it all up, billions with a B.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Before you, because I know you have a lot to say on the subject, but I'm a student. I'm checking in. I'm seeing all these TikToks.
I need you to contain my energy. You know what I mean? Because I'm angry about this shit.
I got you.
I'm upset.
I got
you.
So
channel me.
If I'm a student and I'm checking out my TikTok or my feed or whatever, and I'm getting little tidbits here and there And I don't know exactly what's going on. From a professor, if I had a one-on-one with you and I'm like, hey, what does that mean to me as a student at these schools? Well, can you speak on that?
Yeah, what it means to students is first of all, they're being educated in a climate of fear. They're being educated in a climate where all the faculty are stressed out, and the postdocs and the graduate students are all, you know, worried about do they have a job tomorrow? Are the questions that we're even asking, considered legitimate by the federal government? And that's not just the DEI questions about, you know, race and education or politics and education, like my work is, right? There's a lot of other people whose work is about just basic science, right? Like cancer research. Why is cancer, like, I mean, not to, I'm not advocating for the government, you know, trying to.
Northwestern has a huge medical branch, no?
Huge, right? Yeah. And millions of dollars of funding from those grants have been frozen currently.
Frozen. So some have been cut, some have been frozen altogether.
That's right. Right. That's right. Some have been frozen and some have been terminated. Right. And there's an important difference there. It's beyond me, but there's legal dimensions to it. There's lawsuits being filed. Right. So right now for us, as I'm talking to you today, we're kind of like things are hanging in the balance. You know, we have 2 weeks to file an appeal to the National Science Foundation, but that requires our university to support the appeal. This is what I'm understanding. This is all new to me. But if they don't support
us. There's a final boss for science. There's a science foundation that's in charge of science.
Mike's like, hold on a second. Can we take a step back?
You gotta send an email. That's crazy, though. And you have to send them like an appeal, like, hey, these structures that we have in place at our school are important scientifically?
Yeah, because they're a federal agency that cut off funding. And so now. And so the money is gone. That's like that's a million. That's in our little small sample, right? And I'm just speaking like about mine because this is what I know. But there's far greater projects all around with much higher numbers, right? But just in my little tiny sandbox, $4.5 million grant. We were in year two, so we had about $2.5 million left.
To be clear, you're not talking about $4.5 million got cut off from the school. You're saying in the section that you operate at the university, and the things that you're teaching, that section.
Well, there's a whole thing, not to get too technical with it, but when a government grant gets issued to a university, there's a thing called basically indirects, or the overhead. So for a grant, like if you get, you know, $1 million from the federal funding agency, the university takes 60% of that as overhead. 40% goes to the project team. So that's all in the negotiations, by the way. The Trump, like, oh, you guys get what? We're gonna cut that. You guys can't take 60%. We're gonna limit you to 15%. That's what the Trump administration is telling the universities. Like, you know what? You're taking all that money, and it's like, well, that all goes to pay all the admin and the staff, et cetera. The whole scientific infrastructure is supported by the indirect cost. So to go after the indirect, and I'm learning this. I got to be honest. 6 months ago,
nobody's considering this.
Not only that, but to the academics who are listening, we know that, like, especially coming from a more, you know, critical standpoint.
Yeah.
You're like, man, you know, these institutions are taking so much of our grants. So if we're honest, that was the narrative amongst, you know, at least the people I'm in conversation with. Like, we know, we're questioning what happens with 60% of our grant. What do indirects go to? To what? And of course, we have these, you know, I work in this rich institution. Yeah. So it's natural for us to at least be skeptical, at least have questions.
So you already felt like your pockets was being watched, and now they're being overwatched.
Well, now, but now we're in the, you know, ironic position of being like, oh, okay, we're with our institution. I'm with my institution. Right now, me and our president are on the same team because the in my view, and some people might disagree with this, the common, you know, the common threat right now is from the administration. So now is not the time, you know, and it gets into all this mess, and people have different perspectives on how to do that, and how do you make sure your institution, and it's important, Northwestern should stand up courageously, and we're all waiting to see what our administration does. Are we going to be like Columbia, right? Completely just cave in. That's pretty much the example of selling out right now.
Oh, damn. So yeah. We was talking about indirect shots earlier.
Columbia is a sellout. I mean, this is how it plays out. Columbia is... No. This is literally the logic right now. Everyone will understand. Columbia is a sellout. And then Harvard is the Che Guevara of colleges right now.
Yeah.
Harvard has stood up. So, it's kind of funny. The Harvard literally is the symbol of the opposition to the dictatorship. No right? Kidding. And I say that with a little bit of, you know, tongue in cheek, like... I respect what they're doing. Faculty stood up. The administration, the only real example so far of an institution being like, nope, we're not going to do it.
And when you said they stood up, they're just refusing to.
The federal government is like, DOGE is like, if you don't comply to these sets of criteria, then we're going to take away, I forgot how much theirs was, probably close to $1 billion of funding. Mm. I have the numbers wrong, I'm sure. Check me on that. Check me on that in the back.
Dude,
how much are we paying you, dude?
Get on it. Okay. Put it on the screen. Perfect. Thank you. Yeah.
So, what was I?
You was talking about that Harvard was standing. I was gonna ask you that. Like,
Harvard is like, fuck your money. Are
y'all talking to each other? We got a band together.
That's the question, Mike. Thank you. Did you guys hear that? That's the question that we're all waiting for the presidents of the universities to be like. Even Obama spoke up.
Y'all need to respect Obama for that. Pick a color, grab some bandanas, and just start a gang for real.
This is them that have power.
The school days gang. Yeah.
You know, these are higher ed. You know, these are the tycoons of higher ed.
So if you're a student, this is important to you because you're like, okay, my teacher's under stress. One, my teacher has to second guess what they're talking about, and they have to worry about like what's going to happen in the next 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, as far as just possibly having a job, having a career. Without giving away too much, just saying names, if you want to spill the tea, by all means, spill all the tea. But what does this mean as faculty when you guys are by the water cooler or, you know, behind the library smoking squares?
People are trying to figure out, you know, first and foremost, how do we take care of our immediate staff? There's people with questions around, like, do I have a salary in 2 weeks, in 3 weeks? That's first order of priority is like, what does it mean? Is the university stepping in to cover those costs?
That's crazy because I've been on your campus and it looks like Game of Thrones, man. It's be castles and big old buildings and all kind of, man, it's fire. It's like little hoverboards.
They got a decent endowment, you know, but I've learned, and I have to say, like, I don't have any real insight into that world. What do the board of directors, you know, at Northwestern, these are people with deep ties to, you know, corporations and, you know, oil industry and military industrial, and, you know, these are powerful people, but there's a lot of them. I forgot how many. I think Northwestern has an unusually number of members on the board of trustees, and these are the people who hold the real power. I think they are responsible essentially for decisions on if and when the endowment gets spent. Right. And they're not, and by and large, again, I don't know the specifics of each university, but by and large, no one wants to spend on their endowment. People like presidents in their obituaries, it's like Richard, you know, the third was father of three, president of Harvard, and left it with a, you know, X percent of increase in the endowment. It's like their legacy.
Okay. I built into
what's
it.
The analogy what's the analogy in comedy? It's like,
oh, I don't know. People spend laughs all the time. Get cheap laughs, expensive laughs, kill the laughs in the room. Yeah, it ain't no, I don't think it ain't no direct transfer. Like, you can't say, like, Richard Pryor added setting yourself on fire to the game. You know what I mean?
Yep. All right, first of all, thank you for hearing me out. I feel like I've been venting. Yeah. I mean, I got a lot on my chest, right?
Interesting. I get to hear it firsthand.
Let me just say this last piece about it, and I'm curious to know more about what's happening in the world of comedy 100 days in, right, with Trump. But I guess, shit.
Yeah.
It's just a hard time to take it all in, right? There's the immediate questions about how do we take care of people, and then there's the bigger questions, like, like, what does this mean for the future of science? You know, of, like, higher of, you know, and like, you know, I talk a lot of shit on here about universities and science, but like, I do care about science. I do, yeah, I do value, I do think, and it's biased because I'm in that world, but I do think that the world of higher education in America is probably the most valuable thing this country has to offer. And I see now I went and put extra on it. Maybe more than Hollywood. It's Hollywood first, culture, music, arts, comedy. Okay, I'll give it to the artist. And right after that, it's like what American scientific engineering establishments have offered the world. It's top brass.
It's the key to open a gate to a section of thinking and there's levels, there's positions that you're not going to get. My folks used to beat it in my head like, you, hey, just get your high school diploma at least. And I used to be, that's bogus, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. But it would be an extreme amount of the world locked off to me. I would have had to have worked triple as hard as I had if I didn't have that little piece of paper to validate me. There's so much of this world that's not unlocked if you don't have college XYZ behind your name.
That's right.
Politics, science stuff, higher math stuff, anybody working at like Tesla, astronauts, like you gotta have that degree there.
So I'm thinking, like, if I'm a conservative parent and I have problems with, you know, the ideology of universities, are they not gonna send their kids to college? Is it that much, or do they understand that the value that, you know, but that's what's being debated, the value of higher education, the value, you know, especially in the in the non-STEM majors, right? STEM majors, there's sort of a consensus.
You got to get the framework.
You know, everyone's like, okay, like, science is good for the country, right? Like, if you go become an engineer, you're going to serve your country, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be a useful member of society.
Yeah.
But if you go, you know, and I hear comedians talking shit about this all the time, like, if you go to college and get an art degree, the fuck, it's like, you can imagine. But, you know, I think that, not to get too philosophical, but I think this is the question that's before us. Like, what's the purpose of higher education, right?
Be Walter Cronkite real quick. If you're a student, if you're a parent of a student, if you're somebody on faculty, What do you have to say to them in so many words about what's going on right now? Like, hey, we got to wait and see. Everything's going to be all right. We got to hold That's hands. Good. We need to make a militia. We need to overthrow them. Board up. Are you going to pull a Stand By Me? Not a Stand By. What was that movie with Morgan Freeman? Put it on the screen real quick.
Okay, I'll give a quick formal response and then kind of an off the cuff.
Gotcha.
So the formal response is like, we don't know. We're waiting. I think there's a lot of people stepping up.
Wow.
A lot of leaders, people having courage, people figuring out, lawyer. There's things. So there's a lot of uncertainty. There's going to be some pain for sure. There's layoffs already happening. I'm seeing it, you know, colleagues, different universities.
It's already happening.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
People are being laid off. And so there's uncertainty and people are doing the best they can. Everyone's working on it, from the senior admins to faculty, to people in the philanthropic world. People are paying attention and like working together, and I feel like we have good leadership, right? But there's still lots of uncertainty, and I think what's the question I have is, how severe is the blow going to be ultimately? It's already feeling pretty severe already, right? But I'm like, how much are we in the first third of the assault? Like, I'm trying to brace a little bit. That's the kind of formal, but a little bit more hopeful, kind of off the cuff response for me is like, I am an optimist. I can imagine, and I look forward to, you know, not too long in the future from now, that this feels like, okay, this shit passed. This was a storm. Right. It passed. Okay, everyone cool. Let's build. There's some damage. There's some scrap. You know, some bruises and scrapes, and there's gonna be some, you know, some loss, but like, we can rebuild, and it's not like everything's not unraveling. So I try to stay hopeful, man.
I mean, you got to. You absolutely have to, man.
How about you, Mike? That's enough about me. I'm sorry to the listeners. That was a lot about, you know, what's going on. I have a lot on my mind. So
they have
a lot
of questions. They have a lot of questions, yeah.
But let's go. What's going on in comedy? How does 100 days in Trump.
You know,
what's
something
the vibe?
I noticed? I hadn't actually thought about it till you started bringing it up just now. It's kind of hands off this go around. I think it might be because it's so early and things are so tight and so much is happening so fast and things are getting changed that it's not really what do they say? Comedy is tragedy plus time or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Gilbert Gottfried, rest in peace, like he was making tsunami jokes while it was still live coverage. Like it was still on the any, and he was dropping tsunami jokes and he lost his Aflac check. You know what I mean? Like there is something to say.
The wind
about
was blowing out of the side of his window as he was telling the joke.
Like there is something to say about giving a situation time to breathe before you start. That there's some savages out there that's just gonna hop on it. But
I see people kind of go, you know, I see you go directly at it. I see you be like, are you guys Trump? Are we Trump fans in here? What's going on?
You guys, I'll dance. I'll tell you. But right now, it's so many. Like you said, people is like, you're not the only person, let alone the only industry that I know about where people is like, yo, I got a job in the next. That's what I'm worried about. Like people just really like, yo, tight. Right. Not even that. I've got people who are immigrants in my circle. You know what I mean? And extensions of my circle, legal and illegal.
Right.
They nervous as hell. You know what I mean?
People are nervous.
Yeah, there's people in all kinds of brands. So I
should have even said, now I feel, damn, you know, like a big thing I didn't even mention is international students. Like international students and them and the issue of, you know, visas being revoked.
Right.
Is a massive issue.
Massive.
That is happening in Northwestern. Not to go back, but I have to because I forgot to talk about that important point. But the question of international students, and especially, you know, it goes back to like, what's your loyalty to America? Oh, you're here on. Oh, you're an engineering student at wherever university from Pakistan, but you were, you know, protesting against the war. Oh, what? Like, oh, you wanted to be here for what? No, get out of here. And so that's happening, and there's databases people were tracking it, and that one hits home, man, because like my mom and my dad came here on student visas, you know, and they, you know, they were progressive, they were leftist, they were part of the revolution. Like they regret it now in Iran, right? But it was they weren't like activists, but they had sympathies with the left for sure. And they came here to, you know, to study STEM. My dad, math, mom, and the science, and chemistry, biochemistry. But like they came on student visas. And those are being, and I remember the journey of my parents going from student visas to the green card. It was an absolute fundamental milestone of my family, like a celebration, a celebration of like triumph, of journey, of like struggle, like, and that's my privileged middle class Iranian family. That's the experience that I remember about the green card, and now seeing people just being their citizenship revoked, their visas revoked, is particularly so. You have folks, they feel it. It's real.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I was getting to like his first presidency, any presidency, the president's going to get teased. And I mean, people made their careers off of making fun of Trump in the previous administration. But I'm going to be honest, being out there, it's not as prevalent. It's not as it used to be. Somebody can go on stage and have 3% of a good Trump, whatchamacallit, what is that? Acting like Trump impersonation.
Right.
3%. They just do their hands like this and go greatest.
But there's still levels to it.
It's gonna
God
pop.
Has the best. Yeah. The best Trump.
I think that's what I see it more wrong right now is people are talking about it on their platforms that are on like social media and things of that nature, you know, YouTube, whatever, but I'm not seeing it as much on stage. And I could be wrong. I'm not everywhere at all times. I'm just saying. from the tempo from the last time to this new time, when he first came out, people was talking about it. And now people is like, wait, how much a banana's about to cost?
I wonder how I would, like, I wouldn't think about that question in the context of like, you know, universities and colleges. Like, I think there's probably something similar. People are like, there's a little bit of like, the resistance, but we're not seeing massive protests, right? No. There is a little, it's a different vibe. People, I think people are in shock. Yeah. I think there's a shock, you know, situation going
this
on.
Right, this is a bit of a bogus milestone, though, too, because I don't. What do you? If you start dating somebody, it's 100 days before you actually even really start taking it serious.
100 days. That's your point.
that's about when you go. All right.
100 days. Yeah. Yeah. Depends on what age. Three months. Of life.
Yeah. Depending on what stage in your life. 3 months and some change, and you're like, all right. I mean,
okay, what are we doing?
Yeah. Exactly. But I mean, 100 days into it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's everything's up in the air right now. I don't think anybody has like a solid footing under them, whether it's entertainment or politics, because every time you turn around, this person got hired, this person got fired, these people are in the country, these people out of the country, this is getting shut off, right. This is getting extra funding. I just hired so and so. I just fired so and so. What? Like you barely have time to even process everything.
We don't have bandwidth for it. Let's say this. You know, at the risk of being whatever, right?
Like provocative.
Not even like at the risk of being like corny, really.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I feel like the thing that we should do in this moment is to like hold on to our joy. I told you, it's a little corny.
Yeah.
But hold on, like literally hold on to what gives us balance and like not, at least for me, I'm trying. Like I don't want all this stuff. It is a crisis moment, but I can't let it just completely smear my whole day. Every day. So like I got my three boys at home. Like they're having their childhood.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna walk around in despair, right? I have to work at it because it's heavy. So it's like, how do we shake it off? For me, shaking it off means hanging out with you, talking on this podcast.
And informing the streets.
You know, I mean, going checking you out live.
Yeah.
And it's been fun, man. So That's it, guys. That's what we're doing right now. 100 days.
Quick pop in just to let you guys know what it's looking like on the comedy scene, but more importantly, what it's looking like in the academic scene right now. And it's you're saying one of the more interesting times you've been in the academic game.
It's unbelievable, man.
It's top three.
It's unbelievable. It's nothing like this before. This is very unusual time.
Yeah,
but we'll get through.
When you send me that article, that's crazy, and it's just crazy to see Northwestern is at the top of the the article. You know,
yeah. It's I think what happens with Northwestern is going to be very telling.
Yeah,
and I guess last thing I'll say is like we're still waiting on, we as in Northwestern, still waiting on the Trump administration to communicate their demands. There's been no communication. Yeah. So even the freeze is being heard of like from journalists.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Whenever you see the news, you're like, when you see the news, you're like, that's crazy that that's happening right now. You get that thing. But when you are what's on the news,
right,
you're like, it's a weird feeling. Like,
it is kind of weird.
I've been like a part of what's on the news before.
Feels warm, like a spotlight.
It feels like whatever they had the taquitos and the hot dogs on at the 7-Eleven. It's like I'm just rolling over, getting dried out
a little bit. On that note,
I've been your co-host, Mike Knight.
Man, I'm Saper Vakil. Guys, subscribe, tune in.
Yeah. More from this. We have actually, by the time this comes out, the next thing that we have coming out is a special episode with a friend of the show, Zainab Johnson. So this is going to be out before that. Ladies and gentlemen, tune in. We're doing big things.
Our first
live audience taping. Actually, no. You're incorrect. That's our third live audience taping.
Our third.
Technically.
Our third.
Our
right.
biggest live audience taping. The first one was just undergrads working on the show.
That's true. The staff do count. They are.
But this is one of our first. This is one of our first big time. Look, we're bringing you big time people. Let alone in comedy, we're also going to do it.
Show us love, guys.
We're also
going to
do
fun.
It in the academic world. So yeah. click here, where our next videos are popping up, so you can stay in tune. And thank you for tuning in to PCWB. Please like, share, subscribe. One more time, I'm your co-host Mike Knight with my co-host
Saper Vakil. Thank you for being my therapist today. Appreciate
it. Absolutely.
You guys.
Love y'all. Peace.